Good morning, everybody. If you'd like to turn to Luke chapter 8 in your Bibles, Luke chapter 8, we're going to do something we haven't done in a few months, which is study the Gospel of Luke, which I said we would periodically get to, lessons from the Gospel of Luke over the next few years. And so this is actually lesson 15 in the Gospel of Luke that we've done so far, and we're only on chapter 8. And we're in the parable of the sower this morning. And I do not want to get into the whole, what I mean by that is I don't want to preach on the parable of the sower like in its totality. What I want to do is focus in on a concept within the parable of the sower at the very end of the parable of the sower, where Jesus says those who are his disciples, who are of the good soil, bear fruit with perseverance. So that's our theme for this morning's lesson, bearing fruit with perseverance. And when you read through the parable of the sower, you see four different soils that are mentioned. He says, when a great crowd was gathering, this is verse 4 of Luke chapter 8, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. The birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on the rock, and it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Getting to the idea of seeking. Those who were seeking him would understand. Those who were not seeking him would not understand. So he says to the disciples, and he explains the parable. He says, the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. So you see the difference between the thorny soil and the good soil is that the thorny soil does not bring any fruit to maturity. The thorny soil doesn't bear fruit. And the good soil bears fruit with patience or with perseverance. The word patience there is sometimes translated perseverance or endurance. And so that's our theme, bearing fruit with perseverance. Now, I don't think any of us here are the wayside soil. We wouldn't be here if we were the wayside soil. And I don't think that as of yet, any of us are the rocky soil. We wouldn't be here. We would have fallen away. But maybe we're the thorny soil. And that's what I want to address this morning. Are you the thorny soil or the good soil? And the difference between the two, identified here in the parable of the sower, is that the thorny soil does not bear fruit because the cares of the world, the riches, the pleasures of life choke it out and it doesn't bear fruit. But the good soil bears fruit with perseverance, means it continues to bear fruit. And of course, as we understand that, the gospel, till the end, till the day we die, we are remaining faithful, we're bearing fruit. So what does it look like to bear fruit is the subject of our study this morning. And I feel like Peter probably felt when he said, I want to stir you up by way of reminder. He says, I will always remind you of these things. I don't think any of these things that I'm going to talk about this morning are things that you don't know. But Peter said it was necessary to stir you up by way of reminder. And I think this is one of those areas, bearing fruit, that we need to do some introspection in our lives, lest we be deceived and we are actually the thorny soil, and we've got things that are choking out the bearing of fruit in our lives. And I'm going to address this from the standpoint of the ideal that at some point in our lives as Christians, we were bearing fruit with perseverance. I'm going to start with that mindset and that concept, because I believe that's true. When people become a Christian, a true Christian, they obey the gospel of Christ, they immediately begin to start bearing fruit. Their hearts are filled with the love of God, and they're repenting of their sins, and they're making changes in their lives, and they're submitting themselves to the Master, and they're learning, and they're feeding on His Word, and they're praising Him and thanking Him, and they're saying, what can I do to serve? What can I do to help? They're thinking like that from the very beginning if they truly have become a Christian. And so I'm going to start with that ideal and say, now, what are we doing now? Are we bearing fruit with perseverance, or are we letting things choke us out in our lives? So let's start with just looking at some of the differences in these parables. We did this in our parables class where we compared the three different versions. And I just want to show you some things that are interesting here about this version in Luke versus the version in Matthew and Mark. So you see all the colored things there are things that are parallel except for the things in bright blue. Things in bright blue are different. So in the Gospel of Luke, you see that it says at the end of this section here about the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who've heard. The devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. That's not in the other two versions. And Luke is going to emphasize belief here. He's going to say it again, and it's not in the other two versions. Luke's focus here is on belief, or what we would call faith. Trusting God, faithful behavior, trust God. And faith is what saves us. Faith is what must endure. Our faith in God is going to determine whether or not we bear fruit. And Luke's going to emphasize that in his version of the parable of the sower. Notice in Matthew's version, it adds, and does not understand it. He does not understand the word. Why doesn't he understand the word? Well, we know elsewhere in the scriptures the reason why people don't understand the word is not because they are intellectually deficient. It's because they're not seeking it. And so this is the person by the wayside. And then you have the rocky soil, and you see one difference here in all three of these versions. There's all kinds of similarities here. But, of course, the main emphasis here is that they have no root. It's shallow ground. It's rocky. There's no root. And so notice Luke. He says they believe for a while. That's a little different. The other ones say they endure for a while. Luke says they believe for a while. They trust. They trust God. They're trying to do God's will. And so they believe for a while. But in time of testing, they fall away. Again, since we're all here this morning, I don't think any of us, as of this moment, as of this time, are the rocky soil. Doesn't mean we wouldn't be or that we couldn't be. It's just that I don't think we are. You're here. You're not the rocky soil. You haven't fallen away. And so now to the thorny soil, we see some differences here. See the bright blue in Mark, the desires for other things. Luke says the pleasures of life. Those are the only real differences in all three of the versions. Very similar, though, aren't they? And so what's happening here in the thorny soil is that in all three of these versions of the parable of the sower, the emphasis is on the choking, and the fruit does not mature. It proves unfruitful, is the other version. So there's no fruit bearing. And because the weeds, the thorns, have choked out the bearing of fruit. And then we come to the good soil, and you see that Luke's version is quite different on the good soil than Matthew's or Mark's. Matthew emphasizes he hears the word and understands it. Mark says he accepts it. But Luke says he holds it fast in an honest and good heart. And now that really helps us to understand what the issue is here. It's the condition of the heart. And so the one who bears fruit is going to have a heart that remains consistently good and honest. An honest heart. One that is willing to evaluate himself in contrast with the Word of God, as Bert talked about this morning, staying humble before God, recognizing how great God is and maintaining our humility towards Him, mourning and weeping over our sins. This is an honest and good heart. And that person will bear fruit with patience. So the other ones mention bearing fruit, and they talk about 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Luke doesn't do that. He doesn't mention that. That's a different emphasis, isn't it? Matthew and Mark are emphasizing the fact that we produce fruit at different levels. And we recognize that in the Scriptures as to be so, based upon our talents, our abilities, our opportunities. God is just as happy with the 30-fold as the 60-fold as the 100-fold, isn't He? Because we're bearing fruit in His service. But Luke emphasizes bearing fruit with patience, with perseverance, or bringing it to maturity. So let's look at some of the things that the Bible talks about as being the bearing of fruit. So that, I thought that might be a good approach to this. Since we're supposed to bear fruit, let's identify what that is. Let's see what the fruit looks like in the Scriptures. Where does God use the term fruit in the Scriptures? And what kind of things can we be reminded of about our fruit bearing from the things that God says have to do with fruit? So let's start with this first one. Praising God thankfully. Well, you get that from Hebrews chapter 13. It uses the word fruit there. So let's read that. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 13 through 16. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 13, beginning, "Therefore, let us go to Him outside the camp and bear the reproach He endured." It's talking about going to Jesus and being willing to suffer because we go to Jesus. And there's a whole context there that has to do with the Jews and the Christians and so forth. I won't get into all of that. The emphasis here then is, he says, "We have no lasting city. We seek the city that is to come." So because of that, we're willing to bear his reproach, to suffer with him. We're looking for the city that is to come. "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name." The fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. So our praise towards God is fruit. Agreed? That's fruit that all of us recognize. I'm reminding you of that. You know that. That's how God sees our praise to him, as a fruit of our lips. He's producing fruit within us, and we're expressing that fruit through our lips in praise to God. So, my question is, are you bearing fruit with patience, with perseverance? Well, you're here. That's good. You're offering up praise to God, right? In the collectivity of the assembly. So let's ask what our thorns might be that would prevent us from bearing this fruit. How about if it's so that you no longer prepare well for worship and Bible study? Used to, but you no longer really prepare well for worship and Bible study. Nor do you experience a nearness to God in worship. By that meaning, your experience with God is not very heartfelt. Your heart is not filled up when you worship Him. Even in the assembly, when you have the best possible opportunity for your heart to be filled up in worship to Him as you do it together with all your brethren, it's just not happening. You're just kind of going through the motions. Maybe it's because food, recreation, and entertainment are more enjoyable to you and occupy more of your focus than worship and prayer. Maybe that's where your focus is on food and recreation and entertainment. That's a broad category of things, activities that we engage in. How many of you really enjoy, don't raise your hand, I know it's everybody, Food. Recreation. Joey raised his hand. Food. Recreation. Entertainment. So how much time do you spend thinking about and engaging in food and recreation and entertainment? Could those be thorns that are choking out your desire for worship, your enjoyment in worship, the pleasure that you get in worship? Where do you get most of your pleasure from? Because food and recreation and entertainment are pleasureful. So could they be weeds? Could there be thorns that choke out? You're actually more focused on those things than you are. You're getting more satisfaction from those things than you are from worshiping God, from going to God in prayer. And that leads me to the next fruit. Abide in Jesus, John 15. It was up on the board during the announcements, or before the announcements, or after the announcements. John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. I've always viewed that as the discipline of the Lord. He prunes it. He prunes us so that we may bear more fruit. The Lord wants us to bear fruit in an increasing manner. And then in verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Down in verse 8, he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And as you go down through the text in John 15, his emphasis there is abiding in his word. How do you abide in Jesus? You abide in his word. So you know that. I'm reminding you of that. You need to be abiding in the word of God. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3 talks about being like babes, like newborn infants, longing for the pure spiritual milk. Other versions say the spiritual milk of the Word, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. This verse is not talking about babes in Christ. It's talking about all of us being like babes who are hungering for that pure spiritual milk of the Word. So John Raines is not a babe in Christ, nor is he a babe in any way, shape, or form. But he is, isn't he? He's a babe hungering and thirsting after the pure spiritual milk of the Word. I know that because I know John. And that's what he's doing. And that's what all of us are supposed to be doing. So what are some thorns that can get in the way of this? Very similar to what we just mentioned in regard to praising God and worshiping God. You no longer do much Bible study or meditation to strengthen your faith and focus on God's will in your life. Instead, you abide in YouTube videos. You abide in. See, you're in it a lot. You're abiding in it. Snapchat or Netflix shows or on and on. I just chose three to illustrate the point. What are we spending our time in can be thorns, choking out the fruit bearing that God wants to do within us, because apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. We can't bear much fruit unless we're in the Word. And that's what I usually try to talk to people about the most. You know, when I'm studying with them or when I'm trying to strengthen their faith, or if someone's falling away or they have fallen away, my main message to them is you need to spend time strengthening your faith. Because what's happening is, it's like Luke was focusing in right on the word believe. They believe for a while and then they fall away, or the devil snatches it out of their heart so that they won't believe. His emphasis is on faith. Strengthening your faith. How do you strengthen your faith?
You read the Word of God. You study the Word of God. You get in a little Bible study with someone and you read the Word of God together and you discuss it. It's so faith building. I get the pleasure and the benefit of doing that all the time. I always tell the brethren, if you ever hear me complain about my job, you know there's something seriously wrong with me. Spiritually. Because anyone who doesn't appreciate the opportunity to get around with people and study the Word of God and strengthen their faith doesn't have a clue. And if I am ever that person, you need to be worried about me. So what are you spending your time in? Could be that those are weeds. Those are thorns. They're choking you out because you're not doing the Bible study, the reading. You're not in the Word. How easy is that for that to happen? It's constantly a challenge for you to recenter yourself, refocus yourself, right? How many times I've had to do that in my life and say to myself, I'm not in the Word enough. And I can see that. And that's why I'm weak, or that's why I'm not happy, or that's why I'm discontented, or that's whatever. I'm not in the Word enough, because faith is what bears fruit in our lives. Here's another fruit passage which we're very familiar with, Galatians chapter 5, but also 2 Peter chapter 1. Both of these passages have a list of words in them that we are to add to our faith. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Doesn't mention faith. It says faithfulness, which is trustworthiness. But love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's the fruit that God's trying to produce within us. How is He going to do that? Well, it says the fruit of the Spirit, right? Well, how? We talked about this all last year. How is God going to bear fruit in us? Because it's the fruit of the Spirit, right? It's the fruit that the Spirit produces. So how is that going to happen? Is God just going to overwhelm us against our will and produce this fruit in us? And all of a sudden we're going to become this person of great character? It's not the way it works, is it? Because the Bible says we are to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. Setting our minds on the things of the Spirit. So are you doing that? Are you evaluating your character? Are you growing in all of these characteristics? 2 Peter 1 talks about adding to your faith virtue and knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. Are you evaluating yourself in any of these areas? Have you sat down really and opened up God's Word and really been introspective in looking at yourself? Are you growing? Is God producing this fruit in you? Or are you falling prey over and over and over to the same weaknesses, the same anger, or the same sensuality tendencies, or the same kind of lying, deceiving? Are you still falling prey to the same things that you were falling prey to years ago? Perhaps there's some thorns choking out the bearing of fruit in your life. Perhaps it's so that you no longer do much introspection and evaluation to identify your weaknesses and work on them. Instead, your primary focus maybe is on making money or enjoying food and watching entertainment. Again, just throwing ideas out there for you to think about, possible thorns. But the point is, you're no longer really looking deep into your heart. We talk about that all the time with guys down at Lottie. Because one of the things, and Daryl told me about this, but I didn't realize it as much as I have over the last few years, is that guys think that they're just not that bad. They're just not that damaged. They're just not that wrong. Their thinking isn't that bad. And so they're very overconfident. They say things that just aren't so. They don't dig down deep into themselves. We're constantly pushing them to dig down deep and admit to yourself that this is why these things have happened in your life. These are the kinds of things that you may continue to do if you don't identify them and expose them and let God correct them. You gotta dig down deep and be honest. The honest and good heart, right? The honest heart bears much fruit. So perhaps you're not growing in character. Maybe you're still engaged in the same kind of strife that you've been engaged in all of your life. There's fussing and fighting in the home. There's arguing. There's dissensions. Because you're not really digging in and identifying these things and letting God then bear the fruit of the Spirit in you. And so perhaps you need to be focused on those things more than these thorns, these weeds that get in the way of you doing these things. Here's another one that mentions fruit. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Very interesting passage to me. If I've analyzed this properly, I think this is useful to look at it this way. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Paul says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him." Now pause there. That's the goal. That you be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Right? That's bearing fruit. Right? Now, notice the progression here. I view this as a progression. Notice what he starts with. Bearing fruit in every good work. Then, increasing in the knowledge of God. Then, being strengthened with all power. And then, giving thanks to the Father. Now, if I'm correct in my analysis of this, that's a progression. And it starts with bearing fruit in every good work. And here's the practical application. Do what God says to do. You may not understand it yet. You may not see the benefit of it yet. You may not see the value of it yet. You may not even see the results yet. But do what God says to do. Focus on doing what God says. And then what will happen is you'll gain in your understanding. Increasing. You'll be increasing in the knowledge of God. If you will discipline yourself to bear fruit in every good work, start doing the work that God has given you to do, no matter what it is. Look for it. Find it. Do it. Discipline yourself. Study the Bible. Pray to God. Go and serve others, which is a big, big part of being a Christian. You don't just come to church. You have a family now, and now you're looking out because God wants you to bear this fruit of serving others, bearing fruit in every good work, and then you'll get it. You'll really start to get it then. You'll increase in the knowledge of God. You'll see God's wisdom. You'll see God's ways. And that will strengthen you with all power. And you'll become a mature Christian who understands God's ways better and better and better. And then you'll be giving thanks to the Lord your God more and more and more in your life, because your life now is filled with meaning and purpose. You understand. And where did it all start? You started doing what God says to do. You started bearing fruit in every good work. So that's my analysis. I think that's what Paul's dealing with here, is a progression. This is how it works. And you start with the fruit bearing. Look in Hebrews 6, verses 9 through 12. Paul is dealing with Jewish Christians who are falling away. And so he says, "Though we speak in this way," verse 9, "yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things," things that belong to salvation. There are folks there that now he's talking about that are not falling away. And he says, these are the things that belong to salvation. Now notice those things. "For God is not so unjust as to overlook your work and the love that you showed for His sake in serving yourself. No. Serving the saints. Serving the saints as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So he's saying, be diligent. Get busy. Do the work. Serve your brethren. That's what you should be doing. And I think there are those of us who try to do that a lot, and those of us who may perhaps have some weeds choking them out. Or there may be some who are trying to do it a lot and just don't have much opportunity because of health reasons or because of circumstances in life, and they wish they could do more. I know there are people here like that who wish they could do a lot more than they're doing. And they used to do a lot, but they can't do it anymore. And that breaks my heart for you. I know it breaks your heart as well. But God says, I am not so unjust as to forget your labor of love in ministering to the saints. God knows. God remembers. But what about some of us who maybe aren't doing hardly anything? We just come to church and we don't serve outside this building in any way, shape, or form. Maybe there's weeds that are choking our lives out. Maybe we no longer make much effort to identify ways to help others. Instead, we stay busy with a wide variety of our own interests and are content to remain on the outside. That's not bearing fruit with perseverance. And that's not the good soil. That's the thorny soil. Two more. Giving generously is called a fruit. In Romans 15 and verse 25, Paul says, I'm going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints. In verse 28, he says, when therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected. And in the New King James Version, it says, literally, sealed to them this fruit. So I don't care much for that ESV translation of that. It should just leave the word fruit in there. It's in the text. Leave it in there. The ESV says, have delivered to them what has been collected, but literally sealed to them this fruit. This is fruit. Paul had fruit that he was delivering to the saints, the needy saints. And it came from the generous giving of these New Testament Christians. Philippians chapter 4, Paul talks about how the Philippians helped him on a number of occasions. And he says, even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. There is fruit that is born in the giving because it's part of serving, supporting the gospel, as Bert talked about today at the collection. This money is used to bring people to Christ. In this case, it's being used to help needy Christians in the specific context here. But in Philippians 4, Paul talks about how that fruit was used to support him so that he could bring people to Christ. It's fruit. And so giving generously, 2 Corinthians 8, Corinthians, he says, gave beyond what Paul expected. How does he put it? Beyond their means. They gave more than they could afford. And he says, because they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. It was fruit that they were bearing because their hearts were right. Now, perhaps there's some thorns in our lives then. Perhaps we no longer make sacrifices of money or time to support the preaching of the gospel. Not like we used to, maybe. We've lost our focus on that. It's become mundane or redundant to us. We don't think much about it. But that's because we got that new car that we wanted. Or we got that new cell phone we wanted. And now because we got those things, now we can't be given as much anymore. It works that way. That's how it happens. And we don't even realize it sometimes. It's happening to us. We want stuff. We go use our money to get stuff, and then we can't provide like we used to, or like we would even like to, because now we've got ourselves into a debt hole that we can't get out of. These are weeds. These are thorns that get in the way of us bearing much fruit with perseverance. And then finally, inviting others to seek Jesus. Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 13, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. And so Paul uses the idea of people converted to Christ as fruit of his labors. So can we be bearing fruit? How do we bear fruit in regard to the gospel? Now, John 1 is a great illustration of this. Verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, and he brought him to Jesus. A little later in the chapter, it talks about how Andrew found Nathanael and said, come and see. What was he doing? What were both of these men doing? They were inviting. And that's why I put the word invite up there. Sometimes I think we feel like we are not capable of teaching someone the gospel. All right, well, we can grow in that. We can get better at that. But you know what? There isn't a one of us who can't invite somebody. And that's what your job can be. Just invite people. We're talking, everybody that we meet out there is like what Paul describes in 2 Corinthians 5. The way we, in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, we no longer view men according to the flesh. We don't think of men according to the flesh. We're seeing people entirely differently now. And here's why. In verse 10, he says of 2 Corinthians 5, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. How about knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we invite men and women. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we invite. Every day we're looking for someone to invite, invite, invite. Would you like to study the Bible? I have a fellow who will study the Bible with us. Would you like to do that? Or maybe there's thorns. Perhaps we no longer make requests of God to put seekers in our lives. Shouldn't that be part of our prayers every day? Lord, use me in your service today. Put somebody in front of me today. And then look for it to happen, since the Lord answers prayers according to his will. Instead, we talk with our friends and neighbors about everything except Jesus. I realize we can't, every conversation that we have can't be talking about Jesus. But where's the balance? Are there thorns that are choking out that fruit bearing in our lives? And so here's the summary of it all. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with perseverance. Patience. Is that you? Are you bearing fruit with perseverance? It's time for introspection. It's time to be put in reminder. It's just time to look, because this is an important concept in the Gospels, isn't it? And Jesus says, if you don't get the parable of the sower, how will you understand any of the parables? It's all about how you hear. They hear and understand, and they hold it fast, and they bear fruit. So, by way of reminder this morning, to bear fruit with perseverance. I appreciate your good attention this morning.